The truth about middle managers. Why they are, how they work, why they matter. Author, Paul Osterman. What's happened to middle managers? Management and managers are sources of endless fascination and analysis, but the attention managers get is skewed. Nearly all writing centres on CEOs and the pretenders of that title. But there are fewer managers at the top than there are in the middle. And taken as a group, middle managers have as much to say about organisational success or failure as do those at the top. Instead of being trapped in stultifying bureaucracies, middle managers are now free to be entrepreneurs, to take charge of their own careers, and, like many other professionals, to enjoy the benefits of mobility and portable skills. Who are middle managers? No one has a job title, middle manager. Who then are the middle managers? And how do we distinguish them from those at the top? It is known that senior management makes the decisions that set the organisation's course, whereas middle management interprets and executes those decisions. Middle managers do not set agendas, but carry them out. Nonetheless, middle managers make numerous decisions, and these decisions are important to the organisation. The context of these decisions, however, is not of the manager's own making. Middle managers live inside organisations and have little voice regarding the strategies of those organisations. The changing role of middle management. What's new at work? Restructuring is changing the nature of middle management work. It is clear that middle managers are responsible for accomplishing the core tasks of their organisations. These people get the circuits designed, place the loans, sell the product, oversee space allocation, manage legal issues, and handle all the many other core blocking and tackling tasks that together constitute the work of their organisations. Middle managers are responsible for both internal and external management of teams. Act as the transmission belt between the top of the organisation and the bottom, and make day-to-day choices and trade-offs that escape the attention of top management, yet are central to the organisation's performance. Teams. Team manager's job has two pieces: managing the internal processes of the teams and acting as an ambassador to other teams. The former involves trying to place the best people on the team, setting priorities, helping the staff deal with problems as they arise, and acting as a general-purpose human resource manager. The latter emerges because, as the customer becomes more involved in production, boundaries become unclear and middle management has to negotiate across them. Making trade-offs. Managers describe their work as mediating between teams and divisions within the organisation and between the organisation and its customers. An important point is that as organisations have divested themselves of managerial levels, core managerial responsibilities have been pushed down to middle management. Middle managers are now the negotiators between different interests and are making key decisions about trade-offs. Stress. When middle managers describe their work life, it sounds remarkably similar. They face a variety of challenges: managing their teams, meeting with customers, negotiating at the boundary between their teams and others. The first source of stress is simply increased hours. Pressure on hours comes from the needs of firms to compete harder in a tougher environment. But in larger measure, it is also due to layoffs, which necessitates the remaining employees pick up the slack. The second source of stress comes from the uncertainty that managers face regarding their own fate. While on average the vast majority will keep their jobs, some managers will not. The real probability of a layoff and the haziness of both the layoff process and the layoff criteria introduce considerable uncertainty in the environment. Autonomy and breadth. The changing work of middle managers. In thinking about the impact of restructuring, we should distinguish between two ideas of autonomy and breadth. Autonomy means the freedom to make decisions about how one does one's work, and sometimes about the particular tasks to be done. A middle manager with autonomy might be given a set of goals and then have the freedom to figure out how best to achieve these. The idea of breadth is different. It refers to the range of activities that make up a job. A considerable amount of evidence suggests that employees value both breadth and autonomy. Careers in the middle, climbing the ladder or not. The corporation is a pyramid of opportunity. How much people actually care about getting ahead and what trade-offs they are willing to make or not make is more complex than might be assumed. Many middle managers are in fact not aggressive players in the ladder climbing game. Nevertheless, the career patterns of managers are of central concern, both to their managers and to anyone else trying to understand their world. Driving success. During the second half of the 20th century, managers at organizations, as the popular image suggests, were stable, long-term employed. The career patterns themselves were relatively simple and straightforward, with movement up well-defined ladders being the norm. Upward mobility was a reasonable expectation for managers. Today, the process is more problematic. But we should begin by asking whether upward mobility remains the central goal of today's middle managers. Who wants to move up? Standard thinking assumes that everyone wants to get ahead, but there is in fact considerable variability about who wants to advance and who does not. If a minority of the managers was eager to advance, the majority was not. One constraint on ambition is the obvious life cycle issues. After a certain age, the internal fire is dampened. A second restraint on ambition is that people who see that they are unlikely to rise much further adapt by changing their expectations. An additional reason some managers do not want to advance is risk aversion. People perceive that upward mobility increases vulnerability. The new rules. Restructuring has changed both the opportunities that are available to middle managers and the underlying processes that determine who gets to take advantage of these opportunities. Although the more traditional pathways have not disappeared entirely, most of today's pathways are more confusing, riskier, and harder to navigate. For everyone, there are fewer steps on the ladder. The spread of teams has made assessment more difficult and has disrupted traditional pathways. And the constant shifting of personnel due to reorganizations has rendered supervision and feedback more problematic. In addition, quite a few middle managers have, for one reason or another, opted out of the advancement game. If advancement is more problematic, if job security is reduced, and if work is more controlled, then there are grounds for worrying about the commitment and the loyalty of managers to their employers. But as I also asserted, all the news is not bad. Work may be more controlled, but it is also broader and more interesting, and managers retain a strong craft attachment to their tasks. Middle management today and tomorrow. As their ranks have grown, the extreme predictions of the management bashers have not come to pass. The circumstances of middle managers have been transformed in significant ways. Layoffs are the most obvious new circumstance. And while most middle managers hold on to their jobs, insecurity is much more of an issue than in the past. The challenges confronting middle management go beyond insecurity. Both organizations and social scientists need to revise their views of middle managers. Middle management has oscillated from being invisible to being a target. Both perspectives are wrong. Middle managers should be valued for what they contribute and should be seen as a resource to be developed. Such a perspective is more accurate and healthier, and would be more productive for all concerned.